Stop the music.
Hey, this is Jeff. Before we get started, I want to catch you all up. Danita and I decided to do this podcast. We recorded 14 episodes, and then our buddy Lisa Murphy agreed to join us. So for these first 14 episodes, instead of re-recording everything, we're going to just work Lisa in as we can. This episode, we've got about 9 minutes of audio from her from one of her presentations, and then from then on, we're going to try to work in some fresh content from Lisa. After that, we'll be recording all together, either in person or over the internet, so it'll be a little bit more dynamic give and take among the three of us. Okay, back to the introduction. Welcome to the Child Care Bar and Grill. I'm your host, Jeff Johnson. Joining me is co-host Danita Dinger. Why don't you order a drink, kick back, grab an appetizer, and join us for some child care conversation.
Welcome to the first ever Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. I'm Danita Dinger, and I'm here with Jeff A. Johnson coming at you live from sunny Sioux City, Iowa.
It's not very sunny.
It's freaking cold, too, but it sounded good.
All right, so this episode is called Introductions. We want to introduce ourselves, introduce this podcast, and hopefully there's somebody besides our mothers listening.
I'm not even telling my mom about this.
So, Danita, tell us about yourself.
I am Danita Dinger. I live in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and I've been a family child care provider for 14 years, and I'm way too social some days for my job. So I'm all about networking and getting to know other family child care providers out there, and so that I can talk to somebody.
This is yeah. Hard. That's one of the biggest things about working in the family child care job, especially, is that there's a lack of adults sometimes. That's something that's going to come up in some future episodes, I'm sure. How'd you get into this job?
I went to college and got an education degree and swore I would never, ever, ever, ever have a daycare, but I added an early childhood component to my degree so I could be a better kindergarten teacher, and lo and behold, the right opportunity came along, and I started doing family childcare, and I probably would never dream of doing any other job.
What did the right opportunity look like? You get pregnant or something?
No, actually, someone asked if we wanted to buy their house, and it was set up for childcare, and I was pregnant, and the job that I had.
So you did get pregnant.
I did actually get pregnant. I did. Yeah, it never dawned on me. Yeah, I did get pregnant. And the job that I had paid so little that the daycare that I would have been able to afford, there was no way I was going to take my child to. It was just not a good place. And I probably shouldn't say that.
You shouldn't say that? I'm going to leave it in. So okay. Might as well. Why wasn't it a good place?
Well, it wasn't a good place because when I it was the company that I worked for at the time, and it was a child care company. And when I would fill in for other places, I ran a before and after school program, and when I would fill in other places, I would see the infant rooms, and the employees would step outside and smoke and then come right back in and hold those little babies, and it just reeked of smoke in there, and the thought of leaving my baby there was just no way. And so this gal talked to me about going into family child care business, and I said, no, I can't do that because babies just aren't my thing. And she said, well, you don't have to do babies, which I didn't realize you didn't have to do babies. And so I thought, well, maybe I could do that. And then it was probably a couple months later that she said, hey, you know, we're thinking about selling our house and building a new one. Would you guys be interested? And it was all set up for daycare. And so it was just one thing kind of led into another, and here I am 14 years later. Still doing the same thing. We're in a different house now, but I love it. Cool. Love it far more than I hate it.
Cool. So did you ever teach kindergarten?
Nope. I did student teaching in kindergarten. I hated it, to be honest.
Why?
Well, I started out in fourth grade student teaching, and they were just a stellar group of kids. They were awesome. And then I went to kindergarten where I had to zip coats and help kids put boots on and snow pants and white noses and get them to the bathroom, and I thought, this is insane. I do not like this. But then, by the time I got to my preschool student teaching, I absolutely loved it and fell in love with that age group.
And so you love putting boots on now?
No, actually, I don't do that. They don't get to go outside unless they can put their own boots on at my house. So
awesome.
That's awesome. How they, I know if they're old enough to be outside. So, yeah, they put their own boots on. Otherwise, they don't go outside. So I don't. But, yeah, but I did. I fell in love with that preschool age group. I have a family. I have a husband, Leroy, who's amazing, and two children.
He's got gorgeous eyes.
He has gorgeous eyes. Jeff really likes my husband's eyes. Oh, goodness. Yeah, I have a wonderful husband. You can't be a family child care provider without an amazing husband to back you up and support your job and let people into your house and let them have them love your husband as much as they love you. So he's a good husband. And my children are 12 and 14, and they're fabulous as well most days. They're teenagers, so those of you that are parents of teenagers, you know what I mean.
Okay.
So Jeff, tell us about you. I could talk about me all day if you want.
See, I love talking, but I really don't like talking about myself.
Oh, you just made me do it for the last 20 minutes, so.
My wife and I run a family child care for another couple months. We've been working with kids for over 25 years now. First 16 years running a community center and a child care program, and then we burnt out and started doing family child care back in 2003. And we decided a few years ago that it's been about long enough, and so we're slowly easing our way out of that. We've got the last two kids who came to us as babies, and they'll be starting kindergarten in a few months, and then we'll be done with the family child care profession. But we won't be done with child care providers. I've been lucky enough to write a couple books for Red Leaf Press and do some training, and so our life is going to evolve in that direction.
Oh, was I supposed to be listening so I can ask you some more questions?
No, I just assume you're waiting to talk about yourself again.
Yeah. I kind of was thinking what I'm going to say next.
And I don't know if you picked it up there. My grandbaby is on the floor. We've got Tasha and I have two kids, 19 and 21, and a grandbaby and two cats that I don't know. I'm scared that if I ever die, my wife's going to become the crazy cat lady in the big old house in the corner. So I got to take care of myself.
And little Rowan, hello, is working on rolling over and scooting. She is working hard.
She went forward for the first time the other day. It was amazing. Tasha was holding a toy a couple inches in front of her, and she scooched forward and got it. And then Tasha pulled it back a little bit, and she scooched forward again and got it. And it was this wonderful thing.
You know, I just wrote a thing up for my own, the families that are in my program, just a reminder to them to appreciate all those little skills that their children are learning. And I said to them, remember, they were once completely incapable babies of doing anything. And I think we forget that sometimes, and parents get too caught up in wanting their kids to know their letters, and they want them to write, and they want them to count, and they want them to do all those things. And so watching little baby Rowan right now is just a really huge reminder to just the smallest skill is such a milestone for each child.
Well, there's a big problem. There seems to be, we're trying to race through childhood. And the reality is we need to slow down and enjoy the moments that we're living in with the kids we either made ourselves or the ones we're working with. And there's such a rush. No Child Left Behind has done this incredible injustice to children by pushing high skills testing and the rush to academics. And we've really forgotten about trusting kids as learners and believing in play and those kind of things, which are topics we'll be discussing about frequently on this podcast.
We'll be right back.
So how'd this podcast come about? She wasn't listening to me again. She was watching the baby.
Actually, I was watching the drool and counting how long before it was going to hit the floor.
Well, actually,
oh, she's moving towards duct tape. Oh, you guys should so see this. She is just, go, bro. She got it. Oh, yay.
Speaking of that drool, what do you think those ice cubes are made out of?
The podcast came about because Jeff has all kinds of crazy ideas and sends me emails all the time with more. And just when I thought, 2013 is under control, our second book is in the almost done phase and working on another one, but we're at the beginning of that. And so I just have to see what my kids come up with and stick that in there. I got a few speaking engagements. Life is great. And then I get an email from Jeff. Hey, you want to do a podcast? So that's how it came about. And lo and behold, when Jeff comes up with an idea, 2 months later, here we are doing it. When I come up with an idea a few years later, I might get around to doing it.
Well, the thing is, I think the goal of this podcast is to kind of connect caregivers. This can be a very isolating job, as we talked about just a minute ago, and we feel disconnected. We need contact with other adults, and hopefully we can share some good ideas, laughs, and some valuable information as we go from episode to episode. What we're shooting for is maybe 20-minute episodes released once a week at the moment. We're going to try to record the first 12, and if we like recording them, and if we like the process, and if we get some good feedback or any non-negative feedback, doesn't even have to be that positive, we'll see if we can do it. And if we keep doing this, we'll probably try to do some live events, some live recordings after training events and those kind of things.
Yeah, that's how the whole name came about. Child Care Bar and Grill isn't because we all should be alcoholics because our job is so stressful. It's because after conferences, everyone relaxes and unwinds, and the truths of our jobs, the stresses, the celebrations, the success stories, the ugh moments, all those things come out, and it's a great time to just be completely honest, just raw and open about the field of childcare.
Yeah, I do between 25 and 35 keynotes a year, and the best part is hanging out with caregivers in a hotel bar or a restaurant afterwards and having real conversations. And that's hopefully what we can recreate here, except maybe not quite as loud and boisterous as I've seen some child care providers get in some bars. And yes, I'm thinking of you, Tennessee.
I was just going to say.
The Nashville Airport Marriott.
I haven't had the honor of meeting the Tennessee gals yet, but I'm friends with a couple of them on Facebook, and I can hardly wait to actually meet them in person.
Well, one of them, Michelle Taylor, my buddy, she's a fiery, spunky redhead in Clarksville, Tennessee. With a southern accent. And we've actually contacted her about doing a segment on the podcast, so hopefully we can get that rolling. Since Danita and I were just talking about the importance of connecting to the other caregivers and about conferences, we thought this would be a great time to share the story about Lisa's first trip to a big conference and how Lisa Murphy became the ooey gooey lady. Here's Lisa.
You all know Macy, of course, right? Anyway, so the national overarching, right? The national, what I did, right? And in 1996, the big, huge national convention was in Dallas, Texas. And I went, and it was my very first activities, you need to get to that room like an hour before the seminar starts. suit, and she was carrying a clipboard and a walkie-talkie, and we knew there was going to be trouble. She came in, she got up on the little stage riser thing, and she took the microphone, and she said, "Hello, good morning. We do not know where your presenter is." And there was a gasp. Could you imagine? And nobody asked, "Is everything all right? Is she okay? Was there an accident?" Nobody cared. Three ladies in the back were like, "Did she ship those handouts? She talked about some handouts." Well, no handouts. There's no handouts. There's no people stuff. There's nothing. There's nothing, 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 nothing. But the Navy lady was like, "Well, let's give her a few more minutes." Well, she's not coming. So everybody's packing up their stuff. Colorado ladies packing up her stuff. Everybody's packing up. Might as well go to another seminar. I'm already awake. So everybody's packing. She's like, "You bet you could do what?" And I'm like, "I bet I could get out there and share some activities. I could be kind of fun." She stopped packing up her bag. She looked me square in the eye and said, "I dare you." Okay, so most of you have known me like 15 minutes. What do you think I did? Why not? You know what I'm saying? You get one go around. You might as well make it worth your while. I got up on the stage. I grabbed that microphone. I'm like, "Hello, good morning. I am Lisa Murphy, and I am not the presenter.
I hear you've been having the blues.
I have been having the blues. This is a tough time of year for me. I always take Christmas break off. I've learned, and it took me a few years to learn, that the more I take care of myself, the better care I can take of the children that come to my program. So I always enjoy the entire Christmas break with my own children. Those of you that have kids of your own, you are probably realizing how quickly they grow, and you don't get those moments back. So I always take that time with them, and it's always hard coming back. I'm thrilled to see my daycare kids. It's not that I don't love my job. It's just such a hard thing to balance, that family and work and going, seeing my kids go back to school, and then the daycare comes. And plus, during Christmas break, there's all kinds of socialization time. There's adult time. There's all that. And so to go slamming back into my isolated world with two, three, four, and five-year-olds, it kind of takes a toll on me.
So how's that feel? How's it manifest itself, I guess?
What do you mean by manifest?
What do I mean by manifest? How does it show up in your life?
It shows up. I have a shorter temper.
Or a shorter fuse. If you go like this and whisper, it's still recording.
I'm new at this. Jeff's gotten to practice with all this band. You guys should see our setup, seriously. There'll be pictures on Facebook. I feel like such a professional right now, but he's gotten to practice. I can just imagine how much he's been up here practicing into this. So I'm still new at it. So even if I whisper, I know Jeff can hear me right now, but
okay, back to manifesting.
Oh, did I get on a tangent? I don't ever do that. So how it manifests itself is that I don't have my zest. I usually am a very zesty person. I usually have a spark to me, and I just kind of am dragging and feeling sluggish, and I just don't have that same zest. I found my zest, quite frankly. What happened is my Jen called, and I call her my Jen. She's just my best family child care buddy. She's my brainstorming buddy. I mean, just she's just my coworker across town is what I call her to my own families. Anyway, we had a conversation, and from that conversation, all these fantastic ideas sparked. And when I got done talking to her, I amazingly had a little bit of my zest back. And the rest of the day went much better. That first day back to work was, and I didn't talk to Jen on that day, was just really, really, really hard. But that helped a lot, just to have someone who gets it. She had also taken the whole Christmas break off and was back to work and feeling the same that I was. So just to know there's other people out there that feel the same. And Jeff even too, I had emailed him and said, well, I don't know, I might just stay in bed all day Saturday with the sheets over my head because I'm kind of in a little mini depression. And he said, you know, you're not alone. This is a real common time for family child care providers to kind of go through a lull. So that, I think those two things combined helped me get through.
Yeah, the thing is, between Christmas and the end of February is one of the biggest times for burnout for especially family child care providers. The two books I've written about burnout we talk about that in both of them, about the fact that we go through the seasonal downfall, I guess it is, where you just... Yeah, the Christmas bills are coming, and the weather outside is crappy, and you just feel all confined. You're in your box, and it happens if you're in a center too. You maybe see one or two other adults during the day, and it can be a real, real tough time to keep doing this job. And so, hopefully, this podcast can kind of lift you out of that a little bit.
We'll be back as soon as we figure out why this horse walked into the bar.
And so, since this session is called Introductions, I want to talk about one other thing. How do we meet?
How did we meet? We met, the first time I met Jeff, he was presenting at the first family child care conference that South Dakota had, just a conference just specifically for family child care providers. And I, honestly, I wanted to hate him because here's a male in undoubtedly a more female profession. And so I kind of was like, what am I going to learn from him? I will be completely honest. That's how I felt. And then when I went in, I absolutely loved everything he had to say, but still a part of me wanted to hate him. And I couldn't because there's just something about Jeff. If you've never met Jeff, you got to put that on your bucket list too. So anyway, but I don't know that we actually met that conference. That's the first time that Jeff was in my world anyway. And then I think it was the next year.
Next year when you took everybody out to get liquored up.
Up in Aberdeen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was one of the first times that I'd ever presented.
We ended up at this bar that she used to go to, what, in college?
Yes, the zoo.
Yes, and the zoo. And so it was all these old child care providers walking into this college bar.
And me.
When I said old, I was including you. we walked in this college bar, and That was, it was a fun night. It's kind of, well, that's kind of the introduction to this podcast. That was a good times.
It
No, the baby, baby Rowan.
Oh, might be crying.
Baby Rowan just tipped over on the floor next to us.
She's breathing. Grandma's cheering and she's smiling. She is smiling.
Grandma claps every time she tips over, so she's pretty good with it.
So anyway, that was that. That was really the first time that, we met.
And then you know, we started. I think the year after that, I saw Danita present for the first time, because I'm not sure those two first conferences that she was even presenting. And I said, "Hey, this is this doesn't suck." And and frankly, I go to lots of conferences every year, and I try to sit on sessions when I can, and a lot of them aren't any good. And she kept my attention, and so I like to take advantage of people that take my attention. And so we started emailing, and I started hoping that she'd start doing more conferences and branching out of just South Dakota a little bit. And then I don't know how we ended up doing a book together. Let Them Play is the book. It's from Red Leaf Press, and that one is done, and the second one is going to be going into print later this year, and we are going to start writing the third one together here pretty soon, and time just kind of flies.
See, now Jeff's story sounds so pretty and lovely. My version of the story is that he forced me into the speaking world with an email that said, like a month after I'd presented for the first time in my whole entire life, I gave your name to some people for a keynote, and I'm like, I am not ready to do a keynote. And he goes, no, you are, trust me. I hear a lot of presenters. You're ready. I said, you don't understand. Your name is Jeff Johnson. If you suck, you can blame it on the million other Jeff Johnsons in the world. My name is Danita Dinger. If I suck, there is nobody else to blame it on. But as it turned out, I still am very thankful that Jeff gave me that little shove.
You didn't suck?
I didn't suck. No, it's been a good, awesome ride. Yeah, it's been good. We want you guys to know that this show isn't about Jeff and I, that it is all about you. We'd love for you to introduce yourselves, tell us what you think of the show, suggest topics for future episodes. Here's our email address. There's several ways to get a hold of us, but the simplest way, so that we know that it's specifically about the podcast, is to email us at ccbagpodcast.com. And again, that's ccbagpodcast.com. And we really, really, really need your input.
Hey, thanks for listening. Hope you join us for the next episode. It'll drop in a week. Enjoy your week. Take a deep breath. Focus. Don't let life get too cumbersome. And enjoy your work.
All right. Health
and happiness.
Over and out.
This episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill was brought to you by the Explorations Early Learning Toy of the Month Club. Check it out at www.explorationsearlylearning.com/totmc.html. Next week, we're going to be talking about stress. That's what you call a tease.